So glad you're here today. Today, it is a special day. How many know any day God gets you up in the morning is a special day? Come on now. But I'm excited about the day because today we have an awesome guest that I get to present to you and some things that we're going to do for our church. And I think you're going to enjoy what Jesus is going to do in your life. Today, we are in our third installment on a mission. Didn't Minister Demeter just kill it last week when she talked about on a mission? She slammed it. Good job. Proud of you. We are on a mission, ladies and gentlemen, and as a church, a person without a mission is a person not on assignment. And for you and I am on assignment. There is something in this world that God has me here to do. I want you to take this finger, hold it up in the air, please. Hold it up nice and high. I want you to turn to the person next to you, point them right in the face. Somebody, please. Stick it right in their face and say, you are on assignment. Now keep it right there, keep it right there, and say, don't you ever put your finger in my face again. It's church, don't be playing with me. How many people from up north? How many grew up from up north? Yeah, amen. New York, anybody from New York? Okay, yes. Ushers. They kicked her out of New York, amen. You know, I grew up in a city, and you know, up north, it was like cool. It wasn't like Florida. Florida too hot. You know, kids die in the streets down here. But in Cincinnati, we used to go out in the afternoon and be out all night long. And my mom used to say this, you know, how many moms used to always tell you when you were in the house, y'all need to get out of my house. Y'all need to get out and play. Anybody mom ever told them that before? And you know, there's a reason for it, because your mom's saying, I need you to get out of the house, because when you stay in the house, you tear up stuff. How many had those plastic couches where you sit and you slide to the other side? Anybody have? Your mom wanted you out of the house because she said, the longer you stay in the house, you're going to tear up something. And I need you to understand something very true about this idea of on a mission. The longer that we stay in this house. Oh, y'all missed what I just said. The longer we stay in this house and don't leave outside these four walls, y'all gonna tear up something. God has designed us to go outside of the four walls, because we're not designed to be cramped inside. We're designed to go out and play, have fun, have an adventure in God, and enjoy God's life. How many believe that? Put your hands together if you do. You know, some people will say to me, Pastor Steve, you know, I fault you. You're always trying to grow the church. And I'll say to you, listen, if you're going to fault me for anything, I'd love that. Keep faulting me for that. Because you know what? I am going to keep trying to grow the church, because you know what? That means one more person that gets to know Jesus. One more person whose life has changed. One more family brought to God. One more child that gets to know the Lord and bring another generation in this world. That's what I'm here for, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm here to tell you that, listen, I'd rather you be mad at me about that than me messing something else up. Amen? And so for us, we must be on a mission to push outside of these four walls. We can't get stuck here. And we need, listen, this year, we're going to do two great things. We're going to go to the Dominican Republic, and we're going to go to Kenya. And many of you have signed up to go to Dominican Republic. And the reason we're doing this is because we believe that one child matters. And you want to hear a little bit more about them. But we're going to go minister in other countries, because God has called this church not to just be local, but also to be global. Amen. We're not a monument, we're on a movement. Man, we're moving across the land. And one thing we're going to do just to make sure that happens, many of you, if you're looking at going to Dominican Republic, we are sponsoring the Fruitland Park Library. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a bilingual chat. So if you want to learn how to speak Spanish before you head out of town, listen, this is a great place to be at the start, April 21st. And we're going to partner with them, pay for that. So if you want to learn how to speak Spanish, come on. I know como estás, and that's about it. And you can learn a little bit of Spanish too, all right? So it's going to be amazing. But I want you to understand that God puts us on a mission because he wants us to make a difference. Every one of us was designed to do something that should be amazing for God. And oftentimes we think in small terms. We don't think in terms of, hey, you know what? It's bigger than what I thought. But I need to just inform you that if you're here today, it's because God wants you to understand the bigger thought, that you are designed for big. God has a large plan for your life. Now, let me ask you something. There are things that God wants us to do or be, and there are some things God doesn't want us to be. Let me ask you a question by a show of hands. How many of you in this room think God wants us to be religious? Nobody? Nobody? How many think God doesn't want you to be religious? All right, how many don't know? Because I just want you to know I see you. And when you don't raise your hand, I'm like, let's try this again. How many think God wants you to be religious? We got one dude. 2, 3, 4. Okay. How many think that God doesn't want you to be religious? How many don't know? Okay. Number one, I need you to understand this. God wants you to be religious. God does want us to be religious. How do I know that? Well, we always say, if it ain't in the Bible, let it go. So it's got to be here. I want you to turn to James chapter 1, verse 27. God does want us to be religious. Here's what he said. Pure. Listen, everybody say pure.
Pure.
Pure, I mean, that's the finest of the stuff. It is the good stuff. Pure, pure and genuine religion. I'm not talking about the fake stuff. I'm not just talking about coming to church. I'm not talking about, you know, being a good member. I'm not talking about paying my tithes or not paying my tithes. I'm not talking about being a good usher or not being a good usher. I'm talking about the true and genuine religion is this. Watch this. In the sight of God the Father, not in man, means this. Caring for the orphans and the widows in their distress. God does want us to be religious, just not the way we thought, and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a corrupt view of what religion is, and so therefore none of us want to be it. But how about we redefine what religion truly is? Amen. That the true religion is that we look after those people who lost their daddy, like this young man, Anthony, a young boy who lost his father. What if we just said, God, I want to be as religious as you want me to be, and I will serve those women who lost the one who provided for them. I'll serve the young man and the young girl whose daddy has passed on, because God is a father.
Amen.
And so he stands in for the orphan and the widow. God does want us to be religious. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand this too. So write this down. God also wants us to take the good news of Jesus and live it out and give it out. Write that down, please. Live it out and give it out. Two things that God wants us to do, because God doesn't want us to get stuck in the four walls. And I want to show you what he thinks about that. If he wants us to be outside the four walls and visit the fatherless and the widow, then we need to do that. But he also wants us to do a major thing. And I need everyone in the room to hear me when I say this. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 28. Verse 19. We'll start there. Matthew 28 and verse 19. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you see it on the screen, say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. Matthew 28, verse 19. Can we all read together? Go.
Therefore, go.
Stop. Stop, stop, stop. We got to do that again. Go.
Therefore, go.
Stop. Y'all moving too fast. Do it again.
Therefore.
And
of
baptizing verse 20, let's read together. Go.
Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
God is saying simply to you and I that I want you to go. You know, not want to go, not desire to go. I want you to go. Go is an action verb. It doesn't simply mean I have a desire, I wish I could. It is an action that is defined by certain behaviors. God says, I don't want you to get stuck in the four walls. I need you to go. How do I know? Because he says, I want you to go and I want you to reach the world. I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. Now, why in the world would God care that I go? Why in the world would he care? Well, you know, I remember the story of the old man. He came out to the seashore one day and he was going early in the morning. And he looked down at the edge of the seashore and he saw a little boy bending down because the tide had brought in all these sea starfish, and he was watching this little boy, and this he's surrounded by starfish on every side, needs by every one of them. And he goes and he sees this little boy pick up a starfish and toss him in, and he's running before the sun rises and tosses him in. And the old man wanted to help the boy. Hey, son, hey, slow down. Slow down, dude. Do you know you're not going to, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to throw him in the ocean. But son, you realize there's too many. You're not going to make a difference. Little boy, in his young wisdom, looked at the old man, picked up a starfish, says, I make a difference to this one, and throws it into the ocean. Ladies and gentlemen, God is asking us to go because God cares about those who are hurting and those that are lost. Amen. How do I know that? When God made Adam and Eve and they sinned and they fell, they were lost. And God said, Adam, where are you? To ask the question implies somebody is lost. Not because God didn't know where they were, but because Adam now has lost his way. Adam, where are you? One of the greatest three parables we've ever heard is the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son, all of which God says that he wants us to go after the lost. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that Jesus' main priority is found. I want you to turn to this, please. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And I want to show you what Jesus' main priority is when he hit the planet. And I want, when it comes up, Luke chapter in the Bible. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Would you all read it together? His whole job is to go after those people. Watch this. Seek and save. It's not a static action. It is, I am going after something. It is a go word. I am seeking, and I want to help somebody. I'm not just going to wait until you ask me. I'm going to go because there's a need in the world. I'm going to keep looking until I can find somebody that needs what I've got. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that you've got something somebody needs. God has called us not just to do ministry, but to have an adventure. I don't know about you, but if I get bored in church, I don't like church. Anybody like boring church?
No.
I can recommend another place for you if you do. Because you know what? You'll never be bored here. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor again. Look at him and say, where's my $2 I asked for? Yeah, that's right. You better get it before you leave. Watch this. Before you can see, many of us say, Lord, I want to have an exciting time in church. But before you can see anything amazing, you got to start with the simple. You got to start where you are. I want to show you something. If you just take the first step, man, if you would just, you know what? What if we were all babies and we never took that first step? Could you imagine a person next to you rolling around on the ground with a bottle in their mouth? God wants us to do what? Take the Let me show you. I'm going to show you something. You need to hear this. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3, verse 10. I'm going to start right there. Joshua chapter 3, verse 10. And I want you to understand God wants you to take the first step. I'm going to show you how to do this today. Joshua chapter 3, verse 10. Here's the backdrop. Joshua is going in to conquer what belongs to him. But you can never get what belongs to you unless you take your first step. Many times you see it or fall off, you have it beaten in your heart, you're at home, you're like, I just feel like there's something more for my life. I just feel like I'm supposed to do something big. I'm supposed to, man, I'm trying to, and you feel that, but you'll never get that until you make the first step. Amen. Well, here's the children of Israel looking over the Jordan River. They're looking into their promise. God said, I'm giving you all that milk and honey. Man, you're going to have property. You're going to have, man, you can build your home. You can build a Carrabba's on the other side. It's going to be awesome. And they're looking. And they're going, how? And he gives instruction. Let's read. Go to verse 10 and let's read together. Go.
Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the
Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Now you know I had to read that with you because that would have been messed up if you didn't. Look at this. Today you will know. Say that with me. Today you will
know.
Listen, you've got to know beyond a shadow of doubt what it's like when God is with you.
Amen.
Woo! You ever had that happen when God just showed up in your life? You're like, ooh, I got goosebumps. Man, when you know that you know that you know, it's when you go. The only way to know is you got to go. Look what he says. Let's read on. Verse 12. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel and from each tribe. Verse 13. The priests will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth. And as soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream and the river will stand up like a wall. This isn't the Red Sea. This is another time. How many know God doesn't have to just do things in your life once? He can do it again and again and again. Watch this. Verse 14. So the people in obedience, watch this. The people in their obedience left their camp. They left their comfort zone. They left what they had already. I just got my room set up. And because of the word of the Lord, they left their comfort zone. Look what happened here. And they set up the cross of the Jordan. And the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Verse 15. I want everyone to read together. Go. Now, let me stop right there. The reason they say that is because the winter is over, harvest is coming, and all of a sudden, all that snow from the upper region is melting, and the water's coming down fast. You don't even cross it. You don't get close to it. And look what it says. Let's read on. Go. Verse 16. Adam, Zarethan, flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was. Then all the people, I love this, until someone took the first step, the water would never stop. But God, I don't have the money. Take your first step. God, I would help, but I don't have it in my bank. Take your first step. But God, I'm too big. Take your first step. And the moment you do, God says, I will shut the water off above you, not below you. I'll cut it off where you don't even see it. You'll start to wonder, why is everything working now? Because you took the first step. And God says, I need you to step out, because the moment you do, then you have access to your destiny. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, God's asking you, you got to take the first step. Well, let me deal with this. People say, well, why should I, when we talk about missions and we're on a mission and we're talking about one child and we're looking at children in another country, this is what you hear. I don't know about you, but I've said it. You know, well, why should I help somebody far away when there's people in our own backyard needing help? Anybody ever said that before? Close your eyes and raise your hand. Just close your eyes. Tell the truth. Did you do it? Anybody? Come on. Tell the truth. We are in church. You're in church. Amen. I know I've said it before. Why? I got people in my own backyard. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to write this down, please. This is the answer to that question. It's not either or. It's both. It's not either or. It's both. How do I know this? I want you to turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And here's the command from Jesus Christ. He said this very clearly. It's not either or, it's both. It's both. Here's what he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says this, but you will receive what?
Power.
When the Holy Spirit what? And here's what we're to be. And you will be my
witnesses.
Telling people about me.
Everywhere.
But look at this. They're in Jerusalem at the time. And he says, in where?
Jerusalem.
That means God wants you to reach the people of your city. And then where? That's your region. God says, not just in your city, but then I'm going to expand your potential, expand your influence. And then he goes on to where? That was their enemy. I don't even want you to just touch the people that are in your city because it makes you feel good. I want you to go to the Muslim, the Hindu, the Buddhist. I need you to get people that don't even like me. Go to Samaria. And then guess what? He then breaks it down. And the final one is this. And to where? Say it again. To where? I believe God has given every one of us a commission that every man, woman, and child should have an opportunity to hear the gospel. Every man, woman, and child. And if you're a part of Frontier, you got to believe in that. And if you want to be a part of who we are, you've got to believe in that. Because I believe that we are not just a local church. We have a mission both local and global. Somebody say amen. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I said it before and I'll say it again. We are not a monument. We are a movement. And where we are going, I want you to be plugged in and find your full potential. Because this is what God wants us to do. And God will empower us with what we have for others. How many in this room want to be on a mission for God? Would you raise your hand so I can see you? You want to be on a mission for God. Amen. I believe you. I believe you. But here's my question. What if you can't impact the world with your feet? What if you can't make a mission trip? What if you're not the one to hit the dusty road and hug the small child? Let me say this to you. You may be able to be a missionary and impact the world with your hands. How do you do that? Ladies and gentlemen, if you allow God to take a part of your life to touch another part of the world, your fingerprints are on that part of the world. Amen. You don't have to go, but if you have the finances to help somebody, you have just become a missionary to the world. And maybe your job won't let you get the time off, but I'm telling you, God will give you the finances to bless somebody in another part of the world, and you will have your fingerprints in Africa and Asia and India and all across the globe simply because you say, God, it doesn't matter my schedule. It matters your mission. And God, I plan to be on a mission. I will reach the world for God. How many want to be on a mission today? Let me see your hands in there. Give God a great hand clap if you believe that. Today, I am so honored to bring to your forefront a man that has his fingerprints all around the world. A man who's been in so many countries, seen so many things. And I want to introduce to you what he's doing because I believe in it. I believe they're an organization that is amazing. And as I said to you a couple weeks ago, I would like just 40 of you. Everybody say 40. If I can get 40 people to sponsor one child, 40 people to sponsor a child, it will make a world of difference. You would be a missionary, and you didn't even know that it was coming. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring to your forefront Adam Bond. Would you come on up, give him a hand? Adam, glad to have you, man. Adam, where are you from originally, man?
All over.
All over. You've been all over the world.
Baton Rouge.
Okay, now here's the key. Give us the name of your organization. Who's laughed? Somebody laughed out there. Somebody laughed. Baton Rouge. Okay. Tell me about One Child Matters. What is One Child Matters?
Well, One Child Matters is, first of all, thank you guys for letting us be here. It's always great to be around churches filled with people that really want to help other people. Right.
Thank you.
Right. It's because you go to a lot of churches where it is a monument.
Yes.
And monuments tend to decay over time, right?
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Not decaying, right? We're moving.
Come on, y'all. Come on now.
One Child Matters is we're an organization that we have about 50 years of history.
Okay.
Right? It goes back a long time. Originally started in India, but really what it is we help 40,000 kids around the world every day in 15 different countries in some of the most at-risk areas of those countries, right? So, and what we do is we primarily focus on children. And the reason for that is that because we know that children... If you can change a child, you can literally shape a nation.
Yes,
right?
yes.
So, and what we do is we partner with local churches here in the States, life-giving local churches. That's one of your core values.
Yes.
Life-giving, outreaching, yes. Transforming.
Come on now. Come on, church. Come on now. That's us.
So we're going to partner with you, and then all of our projects overseas are connected to a church with the same values.
Mm.
A church who's just trying to reach out in their community and change the world for Jesus, right? So what we say is, hey, let us come alongside and let us connect you with Frontier Church. Let us connect you with life-giving churches. And let us help you change those little lives for God. You know what I'm saying? Because every child is just potential. God puts potential in every child.
That's right. That's what
right?
we teach.
And sometimes they don't need a hand out. They've seen a hand up.
Come on now. Come on.
Everybody has the same. Sometimes it's about opportunity and not about, you know, what I have in the bank account, but it's about an opportunity to just see what God will do in my life. So today, One Child Matters, what we do is we say, hey, let us give you that opportunity to give a handout to that child.
Now, here's the thing. If you look on your seat, you should have a flyer that looks like this. Hold it up in the air and wave it, would you please? This is what we want you to read, to take home and look at it after today. But this tells you about One Child Matters.
Yeah.
And now here's the big thing. What makes you any different? Because, you know, we all grow up in church and the whole issue of, you know, well, I don't want to put my money somewhere. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just going into a pot, but not really affecting. They just give me a kid with a nice face. And then, but it's really not going to them. How would you respond to that?
Well, first of all, I think anything you give to Jesus in faith, God honors, one.
Come on now,
Number two is the way our organization works is that, one, we focus your efforts. So we didn't say, hey, let's just put this all in a pot. We got a bunch of kids, need some help. You know what I'm saying? But we're saying, no, Frontier Church, we're going to try to put you in an actual community. You live in this community, right?
Yes.
So you live, you breathe, you work. You exist in this community. So you will know if things in this community change.
Yes.
Right? So what we'll say is, let us put you in a community, right, and actually help a certain group of kids. All these kids from Dominican Republic, they live in the same area. They live in the same neighborhood.
Wow.
Right? All the kids from Kenya, they live in the same little village.
Mm.
Right? So the point is not, let's just put it in a pot. No, let's take the resources and let's actually change the community. Very specifically. Most organizations do not do that.
Yes.
We are very flexible in that because we realize that if we can make the church the hero, God gets the glory. Amen? So
listen, guys, one of the things we did, and you might want to be the first one to make sure, don't take those and go anywhere because we want you to fill it out before you leave today. But, you know, our staff, we opened it up to our staff this week. And they snatched up some, and they found kids that like what they did when they were younger. They're the same personality type, the same heart. And you might want to do that. Today, we want to make it easy. There are four things that they can do.
Yeah.
We talked about it, that you could choose a child. You can return the envelope. You can pray and write to them and tell a friend. Let's talk about the first one. You can choose a child. Tell us how that operates.
I mean, it's super easy. You try not to make it too much about pick the cutest kid because they're all cute.
Right.
Right? I'm saying, like, that's the hardest part. It's like, do I want this? I used to see people sweating sometimes. They're like, man, just pick the kid. It's good. You know what I mean? And it's really just you. The way I say it is the same way we did during offering is God, we're listening.
Mm.
It's the same thing. You go up and you just listen. God, do you want me to pick this child? And no, we want you to make a smart decision, too.
Mm.
We don't want you just to add a emotion, say I want to sponsor this kid, but then next month they're like, I ain't got a dollar to my name.
Come on now.
Right? Or I didn't do my budget this month, so I actually can't afford it. So we want to be a sustainable influence in the kid's life.
Yes.
So you make a decision that actually is smart for you. Right? It is $39 a month to sponsor a child, which can sound like a lot, but when you realize you are changing an entire life, for what you probably spend on fast food.
Less than $2 a day.
At one meal, if you got three kids.
Come on now.
I'm telling you.
I got four kids.
You got four kids. This dude needs $50 at the house. You know what I'm saying?
Sponsor me, please. I got.
But you pick a child just based on what you feel like the Lord's speaking to you, right?
Right.
And then the next step would be you fill out this blue envelope. See right here, we have, I'm going to say this. This is in Kenya. His name is Umwetete.
Is that
Umwetete?
Wow.
Yeah, right. It's very difficult, right? You're not going to try to pronounce that. Don't do it. You're going to mess it up, right? But, like, he's a cute little kid. He gave his heart to Jesus. He goes home and he helps his mom carry water, right, from the river all the way to his house. He goes to school.
How many got faucets in your home?
Everybody should raise their hand. Because at least a neighbor got a faucet. You can go steal theirs. Anybody ever had to run an extension cord from your house to somebody else's house?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm done. So what you do is you pick a child, and then there's a blue envelope in here. you just pull this out, fill this out, and this is just giving your personal information. We don't do anything with your personal information. There's always at least one conspiracy theorist person in the audience. Y'all selling this?
Exactly, exactly.
They're looking at you like, no, man, we're not selling it. What you talking about? Yes, we are. Right? I'm just kidding. And then you fill this out, and then you do some payment information. We ask people to do automatic debit. It's just easier for you. We don't have to remind you to do it, and it doesn't cost you stamps and all this other stuff.
That's
right?
Good. It's like Ron Papil. All you do is set it and forget it. That's all you do.
Like Ronco.
Yeah,
Ronco,
exactly.
You know, the
exactly. They don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But if you return that blue envelope to me or to one of our great volunteers here at Frontier Church, and then you keep this packet, and inside your first letter, we ask you to write your first letter. Send a picture of your family.
Wow.
Did you see little Anthony had a picture?
Wow.
They cherish those pictures, man. You go to their house, they're on the wall. You are on their wall.
So let me ask you this. If we bought a t-shirt that says Frontier, and we sent it to them, could they get it?
Absolutely.
Would they wear it?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be cool if you put Frontier around the world? Wouldn't that be awesome? You put your name on that shirt, you pray over that shirt, you pay, and you send that to them, and you sponsor a child. Your shirt would be on another continent because you cared about a child. That is an opportunity I won't miss. What's the next step? Once you pray and write, you write them about just how often should they write, or how should that be?
It'll be for every letter you write, there you will get a response.
Wow.
Right? And then don't worry about, he speaks Swahili. We translate all that for you. Mm. Right? You just write in English. And then if you speak Spanish, great. Write to the Dominican in Spanish if you can. It's great.
That's
but
right.
You don't have to. For every letter you write, you'll get a response. And it's usually because of the delay. I mean, Kenya is about 10,000 miles away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're looking at every couple months, you might get a letter every 3 months, right? But you just respond. And you can go online.
Yes.
And you can write a letter there. If you have the child has an identification number, you just put in the identification number. But you can write as much as you like.
Wow.
Right? Some people say, I want to send a gift. If you want to send a small gift, it just has to be a small gift, like in a regular envelope. Now, if you want to send t-shirts, you send that with a mission trip.
Yes.
You send a box of shirts with the mission trip and give them out to all the kids.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
It's great, right?
That'd be awesome. Wow. So after they pray and write, the last step is this. And guys, pay attention to this. Tell a friend. Now, what does it matter to tell a friend? When you tell somebody, how are they going to get connected if today we're signing people up? Well, I want to just show you on our website. On our website is the ability for you to connect and even write. They can actually access the ability to write through our website by connecting to yours. If that next screen is, you can go to our website, under our website, go on to ministries, and you'll see One Child Matters, and you can actually connect, log in, write your child, talk to them, and then you can invite someone else to be a part of that as well. We would love for everybody to invite somebody to be a part of World Missions.
Absolutely.
Frontier Church really wants to make a difference in another person's life, because remember the starfish? One child matters. This one child matters. What else should we know? Is there anything that we should know about where we're going in that area? We're going to be in Dominican Republic and Kenya. Mm-hmm. What's the big deal for them? What's when you write? Is there anything that they really want to know from us that would really be a blessing to them?
Most of these kids, especially like in the Dominican Republic, you're going to be dealing with a little bit more like gang activity. Mm. It's a hard neighborhood, right? I mean, you're not unsafe by going,
right.
But the people that live there, they have to deal with it. I mean, a lot of times, because poverty is the great debilitator. Poverty is the thing that, it just limits choice. So the kids have no choice but to be in a gang if they want to be safe.
Wow.
Or make ends meet or, you know what I mean?
Wow.
So they have to take care of each other. That's going to be in Dominican Republic. Kenya is just abject poverty. I lived in Africa for a few years, and just the amount of uneducated, just being uneducated is such a debilitating situation, because you literally don't have answers to get out of the situation you're in. Like any of us here, even with minimal education, you have the ability to think through, okay, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
I mean, I've met kids who didn't had never sat in a car before. Didn't know how to open a car door. Because they were so poor, they'd never even ridden in a car. Wow. Never even seen a car.
Wow.
Right? So you think about it, like you're talking about situations that we can't understand.
My goodness.
So when you write, you just encourage. Tell them you're praying for them. These kids, they know Jesus. And they just need somebody to come alongside and say, come on, man. You can make it. So you just encourage them. Send them scriptures. Send them pictures of your kids. I have my little girl draw pictures.
Wow.
Right? So she says her little friend in Lebanon is, that's my friend. And she draws her pictures. And it's so encouraging because there's somebody on the side of the world that loves me. And that is praying for me and believing for me. Right?
Wow.
It just changes. It changes everything.
So is there a time limit commitment or is this ongoing? Do you just keep doing it as God leads you and keep ministering to those kids?
Yeah. So our program runs from about 3 years old to 18.
Wow.
Right? So if the kid you get's 5, I mean, you can commit to that. But you're not signing a contract. There's no condemnation. We're not going to send you hate mail.
So you're not going to repossess our car if we...
No, we're not going to be like, sure. Come on. I just copied your check and I've just been keep running it. No, I'm just kidding. So there's no commitment like that. It is literally how you feel the Lord is leading you. If at some point you can't continue, we understand that life happens to all of us.
Yeah.
We are in the business, we are in the ministry of trying to help people who life has happened to.
That's good.
Right?
That's
so
good.
We understand. There's no commitment like that. That's why we say just be led by the Lord. And continue as you can. If you can't, we understand.
So you have a family too. Tell us, you have a little girl?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's her name?
Her name is Zoe Grace.
Zoe Grace. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a beautiful name? Zoe Grace, and your wife is named?
Kimberly.
Would you stretch your hands this way? We want to pray for him and his family before we make our next move. Mm-hmm. Would you stretch your hands this way? Father, we pray for Kimberly and Zoe Grace and Adam, that, Lord, you would use their life to help rally the church around the orphan and the widow that you have called us to do. We at Frontier believe in what this man is doing and One Child Matters, and we want to be a part of that. So, God, we bless his family to be strong and let them lead a generation to be a people that walk in true and undefiled religion. We thank you, God, for their efforts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we're about ready to close, but here's what I want you to do. At the back table, we have pictures of children that we want you to sponsor. Each packet is individual. So if you pick one, first one gets that one. But we want you to pick out a packet, fill it out. We've got a couple tables. Any instruction you want to give to the audience before we break out?
Yeah, don't walk away with them. Don't be like, I'm going to take it home and think about it. Don't do that. That's kidnapping. because it is individual. It is individual. Their kids are not in a big pot, right?
Amen.
So if you take one child, it's going to take us a couple of weeks to figure out what happened.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So that kid will go unsponsored, right? So don't walk away with them.
Amen.
And don't feel condemnation either.
Amen.
Right? Don't worry about that. We understand. Because this is going to be an ongoing thing. This is a partnership.
Yes.
So we're going to do this again at some point in the future. We're going to take more mission trips. So this is... We're trying to make a very real and tangible difference. So you're going to have another opportunity as well. We have we probably have about 30, 40 kids left. And then we want to make sure all of them go.
Yes.
Right?
That's our goal.
We want to see, like, Pastor Steve, he set the bar high.
Yes.
So we're like, okay, we're going to go for it. Right?
Yes.
So just today, if you feel like the Lord's leading you, please be a part. Change your life today. Just like... Somebody changed your life. Somebody introduced you to Christ, right? I know it's very personal for me. So
yes.
An individual introduced me to Christ.
Yes.
So that's why we say sponsor an individual child.
Wow.
All right, so make ministry personal today. Be a part. And let's just go as Pastor Steve has encouraged us.
Everyone, won't you stand to your feet? And we're going to dismiss by sending everyone to the back. Would you grab somebody's hand, please? And we're going to just ask God to speak to our hearts. And we're going to ask God to really say what he wants us to do, all right? Grab someone's hand right next to you, please. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for Adam and the team. We thank you for the volunteers that are moving to the back to prepare for what we're about to do. This is church. This is what we're here for. And I pray, God, that you would touch everyone's heart and you would put on their heart a child that they can make a difference in. Father, we thank you for their lives. Thank you for the giving of this church. And Lord, I release them into your hands to make an impact as a missionary on our land. We thank you for them going out into a new frontier. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Please go to the tables in the back, and we're going to dismiss you at this time. See you next week. Amen.